Hello there.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good.
Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk for all of our listeners. We are very blessed to have State Senator Emmanuel Jones here if you want to introduce yourself to the people.
Hello there. I am glad to be joining this podcast today. So let's have at it.
So what area do you represent? What part of our lovely nation are you in?
I'm in the great state of Georgia. I represent the 10th State Senate District, which includes Henry and DeKalb counties.
Very nice. I saw that DeKalb County has made the news a couple times recently for the school system.
For all the wrong reasons. Yes, we have.
Before we get into the specifics of those reasons for those lovely headlines, I'd love to get your take on what do you think about schooling in DeKalb, the history of the area, kind of what in your eyes are some of the biggest issues or accomplishments of schools in your district?
Well, first of all, let me say I've served in the state Senate for 21 years. Next year would be my 22nd year. I've authored lots of legislation dealing with our school system. I got rid of the zero tolerance laws probably a decade ago when Governor Perdue was in place. Last year, I was on a study committee where I was looking at school safety. In the middle of all of that, we had to shoot in Appalachia. And I've authored language to try and address some of those issues of kids bringing weapons in the classroom, by the way, which was included in the speaker's bill that passed this year. So I've been actively involved in our education system, K-12, and promoting legislation to create a better environment in our school systems. But certainly part of creating a better environment is having good leadership. And that brings me to DeKalb County. DeKalb County that I've represented my entire time I've served in the state Senate just happens to be one of those school systems that's essentially had a revolving door of superintendents, I believe seven or eight in the last decade.
Is there any particular reason you think DeKalb has experienced this revolving door? And what do you think the impact of that has been with not having consistent leadership for the schools?
Well, it all falls down to those that the community has elected to make those selections. So it all revolves around board management in terms of the DeKalb County School Board. DeKalb County is a very diverse county. It has some really, really wealthy enclaves in it, particularly on the northern end of DeKalb, but it also has abject poverty, too, on the southern end. So it is a county where members are elected by districts, and those members that are in the wealthier parts of the county have demands that are very different than those that's on the southern part of the county, but we have to recognize that it's the school system's responsibility to educate every child. And those are just some of the reasons why I think it's created this kind of dichotomy where we are that hasn't been able, actually a school board that hasn't been able to not just hire, but also to develop leadership. And right when we think we got it right and we have a good leader, the board tends to go in a different direction. And those are some of the things that we're looking at now. Why is this board consistently making those decisions? And, of course, we all know what the impact is to good governance on our school board.
And have the people on the school board, have they stayed consistent, or has there been a lot of turnover in the school board as well? Because I know you said in the superintendent position, there's a lot of turnover. Has that same turnover been seen in the board, or is it kind of the same people making the same mistakes?
Well, let me just go back and give you a little history. Back in 2012, 2013, Governor Deal removed six of the seven board members from the DeKalb County School Board because the system was in jeopardy of losing its accreditation. And that hasn't been that long ago.
That's pretty bad. You don't hear about that too often. That might be a first for this podcast.
And when those board members were removed, and there was a portrait out there on the internet with me standing alongside Governor Deal when that decision was made by the governor. But we had some members on the school board at that time that really wasn't qualified to serve. And the board and the Governor Deal made the right decision. Since then, they've gone back in these last 12 years. We've gotten new members elected to the board, and we thought that we had a really good group in place. But 2.5 years ago, when they brought in the now indicted superintendent, there was one board member who objected and objected vociferously to the hiring of Dr. Horton.
Mm-hmm.
And looking back at that time, I remember it well because I agree with the board member, Dr. Joyce Mollyball at the time, because we all saw red flags. So now we are saying, why is it that the board members
mm-hmm.
2.5 years ago did not see those same red flags that those of us in the community saw?
Mm-hmm. So let's get into that famous indictment of Dr. Horton. So for those of you, I'll kind of give a little context about this news story that originally connected me with you because I saw you, Senator, talking about it. The headline is DeKalb superintendent resigns following indictment on federal charges. And to kind of summarize what I'm seeing, it seems like it was a mixture of not in DeKalb, but in his previous district, some kickbacks and some fraudulent behavior of saying he was not a part of companies that he was a part of. And then those companies were getting contracts and then also tax evasion on that money. And like, if you're going to commit fraud, at least pay taxes on it. Like, come on. Like, that's how they got Al Capone too. Like, you got to pay the taxes.
Answer hour.
So I'd be kind of curious, what were some of the red flags that you saw? And why do you think that this person was chosen to be the superintendent when this situation happened before they were hired in DeKalb?
Well, first of all, DeKalb hired the Georgia School Board Association to do a thorough search for a new superintendent during that time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a superintendent that was in place. Her name was Dr. Tinsley,
mm-hmm.
Who had been the interim, and she had been the interim for the last, I think for about the last year or two.
Mm-hmm.
It was widely accepted across the state, and even our state school superintendent at the time, Dr. Richard Wood, said, keep Dr. Tinsley in place. She's done a great job the time she's been there. She's been excellent for DeKalb County Schools. And I've since learned that during the search, she was at the top of the list of recommendations to the DeKalb County School Board for the permanent position. Her name, from what I understand, was at the top of that list. Now, I also understand that Dr. Horton did not make the top five, but yet this board saw fit to circumvent their own process they had put in place to hire a superintendent and to go outside of the recommendations of the Georgia School Board Association.
So
and
they
how that happened, we don't
they
know.
They hired a group to help them find a superintendent. That group said, the one you got is the best that we have. And the board said, actually, never mind. We're going to hire this other guy. And now that man has been federally indicted. Interesting.
And that's absolutely what happened, which brings us to the situation we have now. I don't believe Dr. Horton was properly vetted. Certainly with him having not made the top five tells me that there was a problem in the beginning. In addition mm-hmm. to that, there are some things, there's some red flags that we saw early on.
Mm-hmm.
Before they named him as a superintendent, there was rumors swirling around from the school district up in Evanston, Illinois, District 65. He was a superintendent of a much smaller school system. I understand it's got maybe 6,000-7,000 students versus one in DeKalb County, which is the third largest in the state of Georgia with 60,000-70,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
And those rumors were out there. Those same rumors that he got indicted for. There was a blogger who had placed them on the internet. We all saw them. Of course, there was no proof of him having done that. It was just all allegations at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that, usually where there is some smoke somewhere, there's usually a burning fire.
Yeah.
In addition to that, I think it was well known at the time when they hired him, and this has been admitted by the board members, that Dr. Horton had two personal bankruptcies. And this is the budget for DeKalb County Schools is in excess of $2 billion.
Yeah.
So you take someone who's been accustomed to running a much smaller school system where allegations have been made that he's put certain of his people in place and given out no-bid contracts and gotten kickbacks off those contracts. And you bring that person down here who did not make the top five of your vetting process, but yet they find a way to select him over the other candidates who had scored much higher by the school board association.
So what do you think their motivation was in that? Like, I'm trying to put myself in their positions, and like, maybe I'm just naive where like, if I was on the school board, I would like want to do the right thing. But like, do you think there was something nefarious going on? Like, what, why do you think they were motivated to push forward with this candidate that has had personal bankruptcies, was already being kind of looked at for financial issues and kickbacks? And one other thing that I saw was that when he was first brought into DeKalb, he used a credit card from his previous district for DeKalb things. And after that, DeKalb still kept him and gave him a raise. So why do you think the board did that? Like, what is their motivation there? Do you think they're benefiting in some way?
That is the million-dollar question, certainly from someone that has higher investigatory authority than I do need to find out, which is why I've called on our governor, and I've already had conversations with the governor's staff, his chief of staff. And I believe there's a process in place that we need to follow. And that process involves asking other agencies, state level, from the IG, Inspector General, to the AG, Attorney General, who can go in and answer that one pressing question that the community really wants to know. I don't know. I don't know all of what happened during that time when that selection process was made. We do not know. We do not have that information. But I am determined to find it out, as well as share it with the community when we do.
One other thing that I saw when I was kind of researching this is it seems like during his time as superintendent, there was a lot of turnover within other leadership positions in DeKalb, from district office to principals. It seems like DeKalb has been going over a lot of turnover. And I also noticed, I found, because you mentioned earlier student safety, a lot of news stories local to DeKalb about safety in schools, especially in the last couple years. Do you feel like, not just on the superintendent level, but on the school and district level, there's a leadership issue in DeKalb as well? Do you feel like the leaders in DeKalb are really pushing things for students in the right way? Or do you think that there's other leaders that should be looked at as well?
Well, if you bring in a bad leader at the top, it's going to have a ripple effect across the entire system. I heard the same thing, that he was summarily removing good educators. And for full disclosure, by the way, my wife worked in the DeKalb County school system for 30 years as an assistant principal, by the way. But that was pretty rampant, I heard, at the school system. And why were those decisions made? Certainly, Dr. Horton brought in some of his own people. And someone who is, I hate to use this term, that appeared to be insecure. When he first took the position, and I mentioned Dr. Tinsley to you, there were allegedly a lot of members that were still loyal principals and other educators, loyal to Dr. Tinsley. So I think he went about trying to purge, trying to secure his position with those members that was in high-level positions within the school system. That's what insecure people do. We see it happening at the federal level today.
There's a lot
of good people. I am a Democrat now. I will tell you that. There's a lot of good people across this country that have been removed from very responsible positions. And those that have been put in those positions aren't as qualified as those that were taken out.
Yeah. It's a good day to be a Democrat this morning, though.
It is absolutely a good day. But wow, maybe he felt as if they didn't pass the loyalty test to him.
Yeah.
And those that he knew from Evanston, Illinois, that he had a lot more confidence in, and certainly he had a lot more relationships with, how to manipulate the system. Perhaps that's some of the reason why. We don't know, but again, that's got to be part of the investigation. It's got to be part of the answers that we need to get from the school system.
And I'm glad you brought up him bringing in a lot of staff from Illinois with him. Mm-hmm. One other thing I noticed in that article about him being indicted, a lot of parents and community members are upset at A, how high his salary was, and B, how high the salaries of the people he brought in were. I'd love to hear you speak a little bit on kind of the budget in DeKalb and if you feel like they're using those dollars effectively. Because like you mentioned, it's a huge, very diverse district that I'm sure a lot of schools have a lot of financial need, as so many schools in America do. So how do you kind of, as a representative for the area, how have you seen money be handled in DeKalb? And do you feel like it's been handled appropriately and effectively for students?
But certainly those huge raises and bonuses and other perks that he got, in my opinion, were not deserved at all. Mm. And I've said it all along, every dollar that you pay somebody in excess of what they should be paid is one less dollar that goes into classroom instruction. Mm-hmm. These are tax dollars that DeKalb County School District is dealing with. These are, and when you have tax dollars and you aren't handling those tax dollars properly, you know, you have a fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers. You got to be mm-hmm. accountable for those dollars and how they were spent. And I don't believe this board giving him these huge signing bonuses. You know, they renewed his contract back in what, June, July of this year, mm-hmm. even with right before he got indicted. And they giving him a $30,000-$35,000 signing bonus. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things out here that we are beginning, that I begin to question. And as I said earlier, I am not going to rest until I get the answers to those questions.
And thank you for that, because it's really frustrating when we're looking at all of these broader attacks on public education and we're now having people who are mismanaging funds. And there's a lot of, you know, we're spending a lot of time trying to convince people that public education mm-hmm. matters, that, you know, mm-hmm. Department of Education is allocating funds to states and states are going to do the right thing with that money. And when you have a bad actor, it really just like topples a lot of trust that's hard to build back. And, you know, people like you being in governance really committed to this is just something mm-hmm. that I think will help people everywhere going forward to look at Georgia and be like, all right, look, they handled it. We're handling it, you know, despite all that's going on.
Mm-hmm. It all comes down to governance. We've had good educators, we've had good teachers, we got great schools and good students, but it all comes down to governors, and it always points back to the school board. Mm-hmm. And why this board, even when it was reconstituted back in 2012, 2013, they had followed straight down the same path they were on before. Mm-hmm. I got interviewed by the local television station. I said, it's like deja vu all over again. I've been here before. I've seen this happen to the school system before.
Mm-hmm. And I think like what you were saying, Fraz, it really, what's that quote where it's like, it basically matters how you handle it when something goes bad. Like in every mm-hmm. district, things can happen. Corruption can happen. Greed can happen. I think what matters is how it gets responded to. And like you said, does it get investigated? Does everyone involved get held accountable? And all of those things. And in DeKalb, like you said, there's been some more recent issues and with the safety in schools. One thing I would be curious to get your take on is I found a few different instances in mainly DeKalb high schools of student fights and then of mm-hmm. staff members being involved. Mm-hmm. I found one where it was a group of students that from the video I saw, it looked like they did attack a teacher. Mm-hmm. And then another one where a principal was caught. It says the headline is principal caught on video grappling girl around neck in high school fight. What, in your opinion, how should a leader handle this? Like if we're having if DeKalb is experiencing rampant fights, how should leadership respond to that? I know you mentioned earlier your work in changing some policies around that. In your ideal, how should these things be handled?
Well, absolutely. Well, that speaks to a leadership vacuum, by the way. Mm-hmm. And you're always going to have some incidences in the school system, but what is the process in terms of dealing with it? And are those that are in those leadership positions well-versed on how to handle these kind of situations? Mm-hmm. And educators that have become principals are ones that have been in the system for a very, very long time. But clearly, there in those cases that you just mentioned, there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect between the school, between the district, and the board, because somewhere in there, the policies have not been communicated well on how to deal with those kind of situations. And perhaps there's been a lack of training as well. That's critical. De-escalation is part of anyone's training that's been in the public domain, and certainly these public schools are no different. If teachers don't de-escalate a situation, it's going to spiral out of hand rapidly. But that's the district's responsibility, the board's responsibility, to make sure policies and procedures are followed. And if they don't, when they break down, they're not just breaking down at the school level, they're breaking down at the superintendent and the district level as well.
And just to speak on what you were saying earlier about like a dollar going towards a signing bonus or a leader is a dollar that's not going towards a classroom. Just as someone who has taught high school for 5 years, one of the biggest reasons I've noticed that students can sometimes get into physical altercations is when you have 30, 35 kids in a classroom. Like those situations just get heightened so much faster when you have your adult to student ratio is not ideal. And I think that goes to your point of the disconnect between the districts and the schools is, to me, having this many instances of student violence, violence against teachers, all these things, to me points to these students are crying out for help and are in need. Clearly that their needs are not being met in some kind of way, that this is how they're acting out. Do you feel like DeKalb is prioritizing this? I know you said school safety is something that's really important to you. What do you think can be done to improve here?
They may be prioritizing it, but it's certainly not being prioritized at a high enough level. Because for these incidents to continue to occur, there's got to be a breakdown there somewhere in communication. And that communication has to come from the very top, from the school board level, down through the superintendent and through the various schools under that person's charge. DeKalb County is a large school system. It has some impoverished areas, has some very, very wealthy areas as well. And it really all comes down to leadership.
And in terms of leadership and in schools, what do you think like the path forward to this should be? Like, I know right now I saw DeKalb has an interim superintendent. What changes would you like to see in DeKalb other than investigating and kind of kicking out some people that weren't fulfilling their professional obligation? What positive changes, like if you had all the funding and all the power in the world, what would you love to see in DeKalb?
Well, I would love to see more money being spent on resources for the educators. I hear that complaint a lot. I would love to see everyone on the school board and even at the state level where we create programs and initiatives so these school board members are properly trained so they know what their duties and responsibilities are. If I had a crystal ball and I could wave it, I would certainly look to decrease classroom sizes and increase the student-teacher ratio in these school systems so that we can have more educators in the system. In terms of the educators, I would certainly look at retraining some of them and requiring continuing education courses. I'm sure they do some. But in my time and being affiliated with someone who worked in the system for a very long time, I don't think that was a whole lot of that done.
And as an educator myself, and it makes so much sense that your wife has worked in education for a very long time. You seem to have a very like on the pulse, like very real view. Most of the time in multiple districts I've worked in, continuing education is usually a YouTube video, some modules, some random things like that. So I completely agree with you of really having that hands-on, legitimate training where people are really being equipped with those skills. And from my perspective, all the continuing education in the world, all the training in the world, none of that can counteract a class size of 35. None of that can counteract not having the supplies you need. None of that can counteract having a vacuum in leadership, like you mentioned. I agree with you that it looks like there's a vacuum in leadership. But what I find interesting is I have heard from some educators in DeKalb who say that they feel that the district is very top heavy and that there's a lot of people who work for the district but are not actively working with students. I'd love to hear your perspective about that, especially in regards to our tax dollars and what exactly these positions who are not student facing are doing.
Really, really good question. And I've heard that as well. And I've heard it from some sources that actually did the job of a superintendent. I'm not going to call names here. Mm-hmm. And that person, the reason why we believe that person was not given the position of superintendent is because during the interim, they proceeded to reduce the staff at the district level and invest more into the classroom. Mm. And of course, at the district level, that's where you tend to have the higher paid employees and directors and whatever their titles are. Mm-hmm. But this is a conversation that I share privately with one of the interim superintendents at the school. And here's what they said to me. It said, Senator Jones, I cut well over $1 million in salaries.
Wow.
But yet, in the last 2.5 years, those positions have been filled back again. And that payroll at that district level has increased again. And clearly, with this superintendent, he saw fit to bring in some of the people that he had worked with up in Evanston, Illinois, in the school system, and pay them top salary as well. They've even admitted they were paid more. And they were given bonuses.
Wow.
So clearly, he took the Cab County school system in a different direction than what the interim superintendent that preceded him had done.
Well, it seems like, not to be too mean, but it seems like what's happening is some leaders are exploiting the school system to build their own career and their own personal wealth. And rather than using their position of power as a leader to drive student outcome, create more equity, any of those things they're supposed to do, they're just using it as a rung on a ladder to push themselves into a more powerful position by bringing in, like you said, more people that are loyal to them, directing more resources inward to their own office and not outward to the schools. So how do you think moving forward, one of the things you said is that the board needs better training. As they move forward, what do you think they should be looking for in a superintendent? Like, we talked about some of the red flags, but to you, what would be a green flag? Like, what are some positive things that you think they should be looking for, or trying to find in their next leader?
I've always had a slogan, experience does matter. We got to find someone that has a proven track record of working in a very diverse school system. You've got to have someone that has the support of all of the agencies, particularly the State Board Association, the state school superintendents. We should broaden the search. And when a person is identified, we need to make sure that person is properly vetted, not just by 7 board members, but there should be other agencies out there that could lend their support in vetting the candidates as well. And I would hope that DeKalb County would look internally first, because there's good people in the system, and give them an opportunity to be considered before they start looking externally at other candidates who does not have as much experience or understanding of this particular school system, as diverse as it may be.
I agree with you. And I think it's all of my favorite school leaders I've worked for, administrators, principals, whomever, almost everyone that I've liked has been promoted within. Like, they they got promoted at a school where they already knew the students, they already knew the staff. So that makes a lot of sense. And when I was researching for this, it looks like you all's the interim superintendent was an internal person that they made the interim superintendent. In light of the recent indictment that happened, is there anything else with DeKalb or school safety or anything else you want to speak on or share with our audience and what you think can be done to kind of ensure a better future for DeKalb students?
Well, I would encourage everyone that's listening to your podcast, and certainly the community in DeKalb County, get involved. They really got to let them know. And there's a movement afoot already, by the way. Connecting the Dots is just one of them. They got to let their voices be heard. The parents, the caregivers, anyone that has any authority over any of the kids in the school system. They got to let this board know what their expectations are and what their concerns are. And I believe this board should listen to the community. Had they listened to the community 2.5 years ago, they would not have made the decision that they made. And that's not just my words. That's by one of the board members that was in the room has made repeatedly. And thank you, Dr. Joyce Marleyball, for bringing this to light, by the way, because she tells the story of not only were there some concerns about this particular candidate, but they had advanced information that this candidate perhaps had done some underhanded things at their previous school system. We should, and I would hope that this school board would set aside all of their internal dynamics that they've dealt with and only focus on what's important for the school system, the students, and this community. We need a strong DeKalb County school system. We need good educators. We need good leadership in this county. And we can't do that as long as we keep getting board members that are making uninformed decisions.
And like you said,
and I'm trying to be as politically correct as I can.
I'm impressed. You're much, that's why you're a senator and we aren't. Last thing I want to ask you, what you were saying about leadership. One thing we mentioned was how Dr. Horton, before he was indicted, brought in a ton of different people. What do you think should be done with those people? Do you think we should investigate them as well? Do you think they should stay in their positions? The people he brought into the district office, various principals, area superintendents. How do you think DeKalb should move forward knowing that this person who was federally indicted massively shook up their staff in the last 2 years?
Well, I think everyone that Dr. Horton brought in, perhaps he did not properly vet them. I believe and I feel very strongly that this school system should go back and look at those credentials. There have been allegations that he may have even embellished some of his own credentials. That's out there on the net as well. Everyone knows, particularly when his doctoral thesis. We need to look at their credentials and fully vet these every member that he brought in. Because clearly, based on what I've read in the indictment, some of them was doing favors for him. And we don't know all of those relationships, but DeKalb County in the last 2.5 years have had enough time with these individuals to know what they've been capable of doing. And I would hope that a new superintendent or a new board would go back and open up those personnel files of everyone that he brought into the school system and make sure that they were not. And I would tell you, as I mentioned earlier, he ballooned the budget in the district office to make sure they were not given favorable treatment by someone who was already doing things underhanded. That makes the whole system break down in the under the weight of its own incompetence.
It's disheartening to hear about all of it, but I'm trying to remind ourselves, like, it's better for us to be finding these things out so that they can be investigated and rectified rather than just continuing to happen in the shadows and continue to happen behind closed doors. So just as a educator, I'm very grateful for lawmakers like yourself who are shining a light on these things. You're very deeply connected through your wife to the school system and really keeping the focus on the students and what they deserve and how we should move forward to serve them rather than serving our own pockets, our own careers, our own whatever. Thank you so much for joining us. This was really great. I hate for it to be such like a negative, horrible topic, but it really is important to talk about. And I hope things get better in DeKalb County for the teachers, for the staff, for the students in particular. It seems like you said, it's a big county with a lot of diverse needs, but it seems like those needs are not quite getting met. So I hope things can turn a new leaf for a brighter future after this incident.
They will. Trust me. They will. Absolutely. And I appreciate you allowing me to come and appear on your podcast. And let's keep in touch because I know bigger and brighter things are ahead for the DeKalb County School System.
Absolutely. And as these investigations go on and improvements go on, you are welcome back anytime on our show to tell us about what other updates you have about this.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Bye.
I love my morning coffee, but sometimes the crash hits harder than the caffeine. That's when I switch to Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's real coffee infused with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics, giving me smooth, focused energy that actually lasts. The Black Friday sale is on. get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Enter for a chance to win $100 cash or even get your entire order refunded. Head to everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
Yes. I really liked him. And I think one thing people forget about a lot is that their state legislators even exist. Like,
yeah.
When you hear like senator, you're thinking like federal level. But one thing that's really important that I yap about on the internet all the time is like, if there are all these attacks on education at the federal level and you are represented by a Republican who you feel does not represent your best interests or like your beliefs, you can and should go to your state governance and be like, you know, talking to somebody like Senator Jones or because you can go down the list. You can go like governor, state legislators. You can go to like your council members, your assembly people. You can go to your school board. Oftentimes when you get like really, really local with it, those people can go up the chain. And that's, you know, one way that you can actually see your voice be heard is like always, but especially when the federal government is basically a massive piece of shit.
And like, I know every state it works differently, but just how he was saying with that superintendent getting indicted, the Senate of the United States can't do anything about that. Like, ultimately, the school systems report to the governor, so it's a state issue for them to, like, the charges, I think, were federal because it was tax evasion, but ultimately, the person who hires the superintendent and, like, the boss of the superintendent, those are the school board and the state legislators. Just how he was saying how, like, it seems like the school board has really failed. He is doing his job as a state legislator or representing his community to say, hey, I'm identifying a problem. I've represented this community for 20 years and this has been a problem. Like he said, for like 15 years, they've been experiencing this. And like the news stories I saw you guys when I was researching this, they're not good. Like it makes me sad. And like I've talked to you guys on the internet about violence in schools. I've seen it with my own eyes in different schools that I've worked in. It makes me so sad. Obviously for the kids perpetrating the violence, they are definitely experiencing a lot of things and they desperately need help and therapy. But also think about the other kids who are just in this environment. There's so many kids in these schools that are suffering because of leaders like the one that was indicted, Dr. Horton, that are not in education to make things better. They are in education to become more rich and more powerful and then put their nepotism friends in positions of power too. And it just makes me sad. And like I've made this joke before, but if you want to be a shitty person who only cares about power, like go work at Verizon. Like, how could you do this to something as sacred as children's education? Like to use a child's education and exploit that for your own career gain. And then I should have said this to the senator. If he's getting all these fucking kickbacks, why did he have a personal bankruptcy? Like, so you're a scammer and you're terrible at handling money? Like, what is
this? Scammers are always bad at it. They fucking suck and they never stop. They will continue scamming. He will go to a new district and do this shit again. Mark my words. That is literally the game, especially if he has legal fees, especially if he's found himself in a hole. He is going to scam his way out of it.
And like it seems like districts that have students experiencing poverty and have a lot of minority students are more often to get exploited in this way than affluent white districts. And that's exactly what Senator Jones, when he's talking about the board and all of that, like it seems like DeKalb is a very diverse district with diverse needs. And it seems like this superintendent saw that as a way, as a method to exploit for his own personal gain, which is incredibly sad that our most vulnerable students are also the ones being exploited the most by shitty adults.
Yes, it's horrible. I mean, it's just, it's so frustrating to me because it feels like we're screaming into a void, which is like why you said to him too, it's like, this is such a heavy, sad topic, but I do feel like talking to somebody like that gives me hope because I'm like, I see somebody who gives a shit, who's still a human and hasn't let politics or power eat their soul. And it's just lovely to be like, okay, there's somebody there that cares and sees what we see.
And it makes sense that he's the one, because the way we got connected with him, I'll tell you guys, I saw him like on the news talking about that indictment, because obviously me and Fraz see education news all the time. So I saw the indictment and I was like, that's fucking crazy. And then when I saw the state senator being like, fire the board, I was like, oh, who's this guy? Who's this guy? And it makes total sense that his wife was an educator, what he said, like 20, 30 years. Like, of course he cares. He sees it and he knows. And he seems like he does genuinely like want the kids in his district to be safe at school, to be able to get an education, to have classroom resources. And it's just depressing how like we get these horrible leaders in place. And
I know. It's and
sad.
It's like the fact his wife was an assistant principal is like, you know, he got like earful every day.
To be an educator with a state senator as your husband, oh, I'd be insufferable.
What a freaking dream.
Like, I would leave school every day and go to the Capitol office. I don't know where they go.
I'd go I'm telling.
Like, you know that meme of that guy holding the phone? Where he's like has his arms crossed and looks all mad.
Yes, me.
That would
yes.
be me. Where he's like outside the police station.
Yes.
That would be me every day. I'd be like, PLC, I'm on the phone.
Every day. And as we should. But that's also kind of the energy I bring to people who are not in my home. I'm like DMing staffers. I'm like, hey, does
I
your
have a question
know what's happening?
Oh, God, it's just a lot. And I hate that this story is like not unique at all. Like, yes, we spent this whole episode talking about one specific district, but like, I fear this has happened so many times in so many places.
It will not be the last. It is certainly not the first. But that's like literally why we do this. And so, you know, I was telling you yesterday, like I was talking to somebody about this whole education shit that I do online, and they were like, do you want to like incorporate some pop culture elements? Like, what do you want to do that like will keep you interested in this work in a way that like feels sustainable, because it's like hard to talk about? And I was like, I fear I actually love this. Like, I don't want to talk about anything else. Like, I want to talk about education, because like I think like you said, again, like the only way to address these issues is to bring them to light. And I don't think we can let education die in the dark, you know?
Yeah, because there's so many people that like,
oh my God, am I gonna cry at this?
Maybe. Like, and just when he said like that county, I think he said has a $2 billion budget, I think that truly evil people just see that and get like dollar signs in their eyes, and they don't think about how important this is for the future, for children, for society, and they just see it as like dollars. Like, I feel like, you know, that I don't know if I want to call it a stereotype or a fact, but like, you know how the mafia was like always really involved with like sanitation?
Yeah.
Like, that is with education, but it's not the mafia. It's just a bunch of greedy, incompetent losers.
Period.
And we need to free ourselves from their clutches. Me and Fraz specifically, we're coming to your school.
I'm going to do a tour.
That, like, God knew that I couldn't be born into like a generational wealth family, because the way you and I would be on a luxury tour bus, like going across the nation with a full camera crew being like, hey, stop running. Like, we would literally be like at the schools. Like, we would pull up in our bus, like, you know, on Extreme Home Makeover, where they would pull up in the RV and like, they were like, we're here. Like, that would be us, but it would be like scary. Like,
that's my dream. That's my dream.
So we are taking sponsors. We are selling out because we want to do that. Please fund Lockheed
Dark
Martin.
Money, light money, your mom's money, money you found on the street. Don't care.
Maybe. Oh, my God. I think I figured it out. One of us has to become a sleazy superintendent, and then we use the kickbacks.
We scamp. It's Robin Hood.
I have to destroy one district, okay? Trust me, guys. I need to destroy just one district, and then I will fix this country. Just one.
One. Just
which
one.
District?
You can destroy one district full of children's future as a treat.
Which district volunteers as tribute? Who's going down and losing all their budget to giving me kickbacks so that I can get a tour bus?
Yes, and surely they'll understand.
Maybe I should pursue this. I think this is the way of the future.
This is the business model.
What is this where it's like you either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become a villain? I'm at
it
that
took
point
us like 5 minutes. Anyways,
I hope that senator is able to do something. like really sincerely, I mean that.
I think he will. I think the dominoes are falling.
Me too.
Like, the fact that this indictment happened
of a state superintendent, or not a state superintendent, of a district superintendent, I do think that that means something.
Me
really.
Too. And especially what he said about, like, this superintendent not only did the federal stuff, but also fired and hired so many people when he was only superintendent for like 2.5 years. I'm eager to see how this shakes out over the coming months and years, because these things can take years to investigate. I don't think you guys realize, like, I don't know if you know what a forensic accountant is, but it's a job that like 12 people have and is so expensive and it's so hard. They literally are an accountant about crime. Like, it's their job to look through fucking everything and see, like, oh, this $10,000 went to vendor B. Vendor B is owned by this company. What shell company is on that? They're registered in a different state. Let's go to that state. Like, that's what a forensic accountant does. And it sounds like that's what Senator Jones wants to happen here. And, like, he said he was talking to the governor about it. So I feel like there's a much higher likelihood it'll happen than most stories of horrible things we get. No one ever does anything. This one, I feel like someone might be doing something.
Yeah. And I, you know, maybe we should send him a follow-up email, because I can find, like, if my friend sends me a picture and somebody's first name from a Bumble account, I can find their mom.
I volunteer as the forensic accountant.
Yeah. I think we could do this. We could.
Are we the task force?
Yeah.
We come in these outfits, the Britney Spears shirt and the tank top with no bra. We're like, hi, we're the forensic accountants.
I just love it. I think we could do it, and I want to do it. I mean, I have so many ideas for ways to use our stolen money.
Like, maybe you and I become consultants.
Ooh, this. Okay, some consultants. I'm going to say this. I was a consultant, so I'm not hating on consultants.
I am.
Consultants can be professional scammers in the light.
Yeah.
You can charge people whatever. You
I come
worth
from a family
as much
of consultants.
Consultant as you say you are.
Yes. And you're consulting.
You literally consulted. And if it flops, that's their fault, because they didn't implement your suggestions correctly.
I think I figured out our business plan. Okay, this is what we do. So people already submit stories to us all the time. And a lot of times, y'all don't know this, a lot of people name their district and we take it out, or they tell us to take it out.
Like,
so
that Maryland district that everybody hates.
I literally was just thinking of that one. It's Prince George County, Maryland, I think.
Yeah.
It's like right outside of D.C., maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So that one was one of the ones at my mind. DeKalb as well, because they're in national news and we've gotten a fair amount of people to send us stuff from them. Once we get like 3 complaints about a district, we approach them as consultants. And we're like, we have received, we don't say 3, we say a high volume. That's all we say. We've received a high volume of complaints about your district. So we are here to offer you our consulting services.
Yes. Yes.
I feel like this is going to work like maybe 20% of the time. I don't think it'll work every time, but I think some districts will hire us. We show up maybe in these outfits, maybe in tuxedos. Haven't decided yet.
Yeah. No, I think we just feel the vibe out. We can go on their website.
Yeah. And then we fire everyone.
Yep. Yep. Oh,
nailed
my
it.
God. Nailed it. And then we can also do the bus thing. It's tuxedos, tank tops with no bra, or the bus. I don't know.
Maybe it's like an AM PM thing. Like during during the school day, tank tops, no bra, or just a sports bra. For evening events, your sports games, your award ceremonies, your parent teacher conferences, that's where we do the tuxedos.
Yeah. Oh, I think yeah. Okay, I'm so in. I'm in.
Right.
Okay, everyone.
That's our new business plan.
Bye.
Follow along for that.